All right, let's open up to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20 for the last sermon in this series. We'll be looking at the topic of prayer. And if you're able, please rise for the reading of God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, you may remember me mentioning Charles Spurgeon last week, the Prince of Preachers, from last week's message. Here's another story about him. So there was a bricklayer who was working in front of Spurgeon's house, who just kept swearing and cursing, right, using God's name in vain and so on. And so fed up by this, Spurgeon offered him something like £100, some enormous, outrageous amount of money, if the man would never use God's name again and never call upon God again. And so bricklayer, you know, took the money happily and went home. Later, however, his daughter got sick for 3 nights straight, and with nothing that he could do, he wanted to pray for her. But he had made a promise with Spurgeon that he would never call upon God again. So finally, the man went back to Spurgeon's house, gave the money back to Spurgeon, and said, "The value of prayer, the value of calling upon God's name is greater than all the money of this world." How would you feel if you couldn't pray? Would you feel helpless, like this man here? Would you feel hopeless? Would you feel powerless? Or would you feel indifferent? Prayer, along with reading the Bible, is an essential part of living as a Christian. It's how we communicate with God and how we fight against the enemy and how we as Christians do mighty works of God. It says in James chapter 5, verse 16, that the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I don't know, the image looks a little cool, but it's great timing. But we also, you know, what this means is that people who have this right relationship with God, right? Righteous person, like people who put on the whole armor of God, when they pray, it has great power. We learned about prayer before in our Lord's Prayer series, right? But I want to talk about prayer again in the context of spiritual battle. Now, though this is not a piece in the whole armor of God, right? Prayer is not a part of the armor. It is here because it is an essential part of this spiritual warfare. And really, the only way we can fight the enemy is through the power of God, right? Because our enemy is not of physical body. They are of spirit, and the only way to fight them is through spiritual weapons like the sword of the Spirit and prayer. And we can say that Jesus' life was actually like the full armor of God. If you look at his life and what it was like, it's just like the whole armor of God. He had everything. Yet, Jesus always prayed before he did things. Right? If there's one thing that Jesus did the most, it was prayer. Right, he would spend long hours praying to God. And before choosing the 12 apostles, right, Jesus spent all night praying to God too. And before going to the cross, Jesus would spend his last moments praying to God. And that's how important prayer is. And if Jesus, the Son of God, prioritized prayer, we also must prioritize it. Again, prayer is not a part of the whole armor of God, but it is how we put on the whole armor. But because for each moment, we pray for protection. It's our communication channel with God in this battle. It's how we fight back at the enemy, and it's how we stand against the enemy's attacks. And prayer reminds us that this battle belongs to God, just like the song that we sang today, right? We fight on our knees. It is through His power that we can fight back. But why is it that we feel so weak in prayer? Why does it feel like our prayers aren't being answered? And I think the answer lies in Ephesians chapter 6. So again, let's read this again, verse 18 to 20. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. To this, pastor and writer John Stott writes, prevailing Christian prayer is wonderfully comprehensive. It has four universals indicated by the fourfold use of the word all. We are to pray at all times, both regularly and constantly, with all prayer and supplication, for it takes many and varied forms, with all perseverance, because we need, like good soldiers, to keep alert and neither give up nor fall asleep, making supplication for all the saints, since the unity of God's new society, which has been the preoccupation of this whole letter, must be reflected in our prayers. And he writes, most Christians pray sometimes with some prayers and some degree of perseverance for some of God's people. Isn't this why our prayers are weak sometimes? Because we pray sometimes with some prayer and some degree of perseverance for some of God's people. If last week I challenged you to read the Bible more deeply, more closely, more desperately, this week I want to challenge you to pray. At all times, with all prayer, with all perseverance for all the saints. Because we're in a spiritual battle with spiritual enemies, we must stay alert at all times and pray for all things for all the saints without ceasing. Because this will be an ongoing battle until the day Jesus returns to end all battle. And that's why it was important that we learn about the whole armor of God, for each part helps us to pray. And that's a feedback loop for us too. Prayer helps us to put on this armor, but each armor, right, each part in turn helps us to pray. Like the belt of truth is about integrity, so that our prayers are sincere and not hypocritical. The breastplate of righteousness, it gives us this clear channel to God where we can go to Him without any shame. The gospel, right, the shoes of readiness given by the gospel of peace, it tells us that our mission is clear and it qualifies our prayers. And things like the shield of faith, it's about trust. We pray with confidence that God will shield us. And the helmet of salvation, we pray without fear of disappointment. And the sword of the Spirit, right? We pray based on the word of God. So let's look at these 4 points this morning and learn how to pray. And we begin with praying at all times. So how do we pray at all times? Right, elsewhere in the first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul writes that we should pray unceasingly. And how do you do that? Right, it's important to have set times of prayer when you can set aside some time to pray quietly before God. Right, Muslims are famous for this, for they have set times of prayer throughout the day. They have the dawn prayer before sunrise, the noon prayer, the afternoon prayer, the sunset prayer, and the night prayer. They pray like 5 times. And it's something that they have to do. The Jews pray 3 times a day, in the morning, afternoon, and evening. And Daniel was also famous for praying 3 times during the day, even though it was forbidden to do so. Catholics are also encouraged to pray at least 3 times a day, but more if possible. And oftentimes it feels like the Protestants, us, we're the ones who pray the least, because we don't prescribe prayer times to the followers. We know that we should pray, but we don't like enforce it. But if we are to be the people of God who follow the word of God, then we also must pray unceasingly. And again, the question is, how do we do that? In terms of learning about prayer, I owe a lot to Dr. Joel Beakey. The story about Spurgeon, the bricklayer, I got to hear from him as well. And I got to watch his video from the Desiring God conference in 2011 when he shared the message titled Cultivating Private Prayer as a Pastor. This was like one year into me becoming a pastor, and prayer was something that I struggled with the most. It was actually easier for me to preach for 30 minutes than to pray for 30 minutes. And even someone like Tim Keller would also say something like that, which kind of made me feel a little better, but not really, right? Now, even though this video, right, this speech was for pastors, I strongly encourage you to go and listen to him if you really want to strengthen your prayer life. So in that speech, right, he tells of a story where there's a group of ministers, which included the likes of John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, who would meet once a month to discuss a biblical question. The question of the month was, what does it mean to pray without ceasing? They got into a debate with much disagreement. And finally, there was a young woman who was serving them. And one minister said, maybe you know, like pointing to the young woman. And she said, oh, sir, it's not really a problem. And they're all taken aback by this, I'm sure. When I get up in the morning and I clothe myself, I pray that I might be clothed with the righteousness of Christ today. And when I serve you bread, I pray that Jesus might be my bread of life. When I dust the furniture, I pray that the filth he would take out of my heart. When I set before you your drink, I pray that Jesus might be the water of life. And I just kind of pray my way through the day like that. You see, to pray at all times is to be aware of the presence of God at all times, is to keep God in your mind at all times, right? Even when we're not praying, even when we don't feel it, he is always there. It's kind of like if you're dating or if you have a spouse, right? You guys are just messaging each other throughout the day, or even with a friend. They're not there with you, but it's as though they are there because you keep sending pictures to them, right? Showing them what it is, right? So they're not there with you, but they're there with you, if you know what I mean. Again, by praying, we are always aware of God's presence with us. And that's why we need to make it a habit to pray before each activity. For example, when you get up, pray. Right? Actor Denzel Washington was famous for this. As a Baptist preacher's kid growing up, he put the importance of his faith as well. So when he went to bed, he would put his slippers down under the bed and deep inside so that in the morning when he gets down on his knees to get the slippers back out, he would stay there on his knees to pray in the morning before getting up, right? He's basically setting it up for himself to get in the posture of praying. When you have breakfast, pray, as you guys probably do before eating, right? Giving thanks to God for the new morning and for his provision. Before you meet someone, pray that God will bless the meeting. Before you work, give thanks to God for the opportunity. Before you study, pray that He would help you study for His glory and for His kingdom, and so on and so on. Others have suggested that you write down a short prayer on sticky notes and stick it around where you go, right? It could be in front of the coffee machine so that when, you know, as you're brewing your coffee in the morning, right, you read that and say a short prayer. And on top of your work area or desk, right, you can stick something on there to quickly pray before you go on. And it's okay to just read the same kind of prayer, right, as long as it doesn't become some motion that you just repeat without thinking, mindlessly, right? But something that reminds you to pray. Or even the washroom, you can stick it on there as you brush your teeth. You can pray for, you know, the suggested amount of 2 minutes. But that's how you would pray at all times. But this can also mean to pray during the good times and the bad times, at all times, meaning in all circumstances. You know, I found it easier to pray during the hard times, because desperation is a strong motivator. Of course, it's not easy in the sense that you don't know what to pray or have the time to pray because you feel like you have to do something to get out of this situation. But the hardship in life brings you to your knees and you find yourself praying to God. Just like that bricklayer, when his daughter was sick for 3 days, there was nothing else that he could do. And the only thing he could think of was pray. Those times will humble you, making you realize that your true source of help and hope is God alone. It's actually harder, I find, to pray during the good times when things are going well. Because you don't feel that same kind of need. Because we're so used to praying to God only in times of need or for our needs. And that's why in Proverbs chapter 30, the writer asks God to give neither riches nor poverty. He is afraid that having riches would make him say, "Who is the Lord?" As in, "I don't need God." We are prone to forget that it is because of God that we get to enjoy the blessings in this life. We forget to thank him and give glory to him. And this can actually give way for the enemy to think that you can do this without God. He wants you to stop relying on him, stop asking for his protection and provision because you're set. And that's where he would want you. And this is why we must pray at all times. Right, throughout the day, during the good times and the bad, when we have plenty or when we're poor. But we can't be praying the same prayer all the time, so we need to pray with all prayer and supplication. And that's the second point. Pray with all prayer. Now, how many types of prayer are there? It's like asking how many types of conversations there are. I'm sure that when you talk with your friend, your family, boyfriend, girlfriend, your spouse, your boss, whatever, there are different types of conversation. Some are serious, some are light, some are fun, some are sad, right? I think most of us have a go-to prayer, though. Right? Think back to how you pray before you eat. Most of the time, it's the same prayer. We just kind of do it because if we don't, we feel like we're going to get indigestion or something like that. Some of us have a hard time praying publicly, like in a small group setting or in front of the church on behalf of the church, because our prayers are limited. Yet Paul tells us to pray with all prayer and supplication. Good news is that we can learn how to pray all sorts of prayer. And that's why we have the book of Psalms. I was taught that the Bible speaks to us, but the Psalms speak for us, and that's because it's a book of prayers in song form. Beautiful prayers, some raw prayers, some deep prayers. There's prayer of thanksgiving in there, prayer of blessing or benediction, prayer of sorrow or lament, prayer of repentance, prayer of seeking, prayer of resting and abiding, prayer of gazing at the beauty of God. In light of what I challenged last week on reading the Bible, I encourage you that you read a chapter of Psalm a day as well. Right? If you would like, you can always read a chapter from Proverbs and a chapter of Psalms too. That way you'll go through all the Psalm twice a year. And I'm sure that you'll come out with a few favorite Psalms as well. And in Psalm like Psalm 119, right, which is really long, you can also divide it into a few days. But as you read it with a prayerful heart, right, you will find that your prayers will also expand and grow. Read it as though you are praying this out loud to God. Now, there's another prayer that we can also learn to pray, all prayer, and that is the Lord's Prayer. Right, we went through the Lord's Prayer in a series this past year, and this would be a good time to go and listen to it again, I think. If you remember, there are six petitions, right? Six requests, six types of prayer in the Lord's Prayer, and each one is there to help us learn how to pray. For example, you can say that these petitions are like this, right? The first one, you know, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's like the prayer of doxology, prayer of giving praise to God. And then there's a prayer of hope, "Your kingdom come." And prayer of alignment of wills, submission, right? "Your will be done." And then we have prayer of supplication, asking God for our needs, prayer of confession and repentance, and prayer of protection, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Right, it's all in there. Another great way to learn how to pray all sorts of prayers then is also pray based on your reading of the Bible. So I hope that you guys have started reading the Bible, you know, again, like more intensely starting last week. After you read, right, during your devotional time, right, as you study it, make notes on who God is, use that as prayer, especially to end your time of prayer. So for example, let's say the passage was Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20, like the one that we read. After studying it, you could pray like this, right? "God, I thank you for giving us a way to protect ourselves from the enemy, Right? Thank you for giving us the truth so that we can withstand the enemy's attacks. Right? Thank you for calling me righteous and justified. Help us to hold up the shield of faith together. I want to pray for my friends and my church family. And remind me of your words so that I may use it to attack the enemy's deception and so on. You can see that the things that you find in the Bible about God, those directly become your prayers. Pray through the Bible. Lastly, learn some famous prayers of past believers as well. Right, there are two great prayers in Ephesians as well that you can pray for yourself and for others. Right, one is from Ephesians chapter 1, and the other is Ephesians chapter 3. And then there are other famous prayers, like, for example, St. Patrick's Breastplate, the prayer for protection. It's a pretty long one. Let me just read you a portion of it. It might sound kind of familiar. It goes like this. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I rise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. You know, doesn't that inspire you to pray something similar as well? You know, by reading them and praying through them, you'll find your own prayers expanding and growing as well. Now, what about the part about supplication, though? It says all prayer and supplication. Well, this has to do with all our needs. A lot of the times, the enemy will tempt us in areas where we are lacking or where we are weak. We can fall into fear and anxiety. And fear and anxiety act like fog, right? Blocking our view blocking us from having a clear view of who God is. So Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 like this. It's very similar to what he says here in Ephesians. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Whatever you need, pray them to God and trust that He will give you those things, and so you should give thanks. If He knows that you need them, and Jesus says that the Father knows whatever we need even before we ask Him, He will give them to you in due time. If He doesn't, then it's either not the right time yet, or it's something that is unnecessary in your life. This is how we stand against the enemy's attack. Thirdly, we must pray with all perseverance. Now, that last part about praying to God for what you need, God's answer will be either a yes or a no, or like we said in Joseph series, or not yet. And it's this last one that's the hardest to bear. And so Paul tells us to not give up, but pray with all perseverance. Now, perseverance is such an honorable word, yet also difficult to bear because it means not giving up. It means to be persistent. It's hard to be persistent, right? But are you persistent in your prayer? What is the longest prayer that you've had? The oldest prayer that you've had? For a lot of people, it's their prayer for their unsaved family members because their eternity is at stake and they won't easily give this one up. But what else are you persisting in prayer? To teach us how to pray with perseverance, Jesus told us this parable in Luke chapter 18. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So it's about prayer and perseverance. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected men. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while, he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, as in Jesus said, right? Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Basically, Jesus is saying that if an unjust judge, like the one in the parable, would answer the widow out of her persistence and out of his, annoyance, so that she would stop bothering him, how much would a good father who loves you answer your persistent prayers? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught his disciples to ask. He said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." Now, some people read that and think that they just need to ask once. And yes, there are times when God would answer just like that. But other times, and most oftentimes, I think, he wants us to keep on asking. Be persistent, to persevere. It's hard to tell from the ESV that we see on here, but when you see verbs like ask, seek, knock, these are active present tense, right? Ask, not will ask or asked, but ask. And when you come across present tense verbs, you should read them as keep on asking. It's an ongoing action. So Jesus is really saying, keep on asking, keep on finding, keep on knocking. And as we do so, God wants us to learn and grow. What this kind of perseverance does to our faith is that it builds trust. It deepens our faith. And when that happens, when we trust in God and his promises, we hope in him. Our hope in him becomes more vivid, more clear, and more real. Again, Paul says, keep alert with all perseverance. We stay awake spiritually by keeping our eyes fixed on the coming of Jesus. We do that by praying that Jesus would return soon. Or we pray with perseverance that Jesus would return soon, so that he will finally defeat all our enemies and to restore all things, to bring justice and to reward every one of those believers who are faithful to him with all perseverance. So whatever it is that you are praying for right now, don't give up. Be persistent, be patient, and keep alert. Finally, pray for all the saints. This one shouldn't surprise us because we've been talking about how this battle is a team fight. It's a war. You don't fight war by yourself. We learned during the Lord's Prayer series that the entire prayer uses the plural pronoun us or our, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, right? And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins and deliver, you know, lead us not into temptation and so on. Jesus never taught us to pray just for myself. He taught us to include others in our prayers. You know, when you feel the loneliest as a Christian? Is when you find out that no one is praying for you. That should never be the case. That's why we have the church and why all believers should be a part of a church, right? Sometimes, yes, with the online worship that's available nowadays, like when we can't come to church, it's better to at least go online, but that shouldn't be replacing us meeting together. Because, you know, for example, if you're in a big church or if you're always online, no one really knows who you are and what your prayers are. They just know you as a person who comes and goes on Sunday. You know, I heard some people share that they go to a big church so that they can be like the fly on a wall. And I heard this exact phrase from more than one person. But as a pastor, you know, that's really unfortunate. Because you're not forming a relationship with other believers who would pray for you. Even Apostle Paul asked the believers in Ephesus to pray for him. He says, "And pray also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." He's asking the church in Ephesus to pray that he'll be given opportunity and the courage to boldly speak as he ought to. And in that regard, I want to ask you to pray for me and my family as well. Right? When you pray for these things. Right? For protection, for provision, for power. And really, these are the things that we can be praying for everyone. Protection from spiritual attacks and physical harm, from things that would hinder ministry or preaching of God's word. Provision for our family, for provision for really everyone to continue this work of serving the church, preaching the gospel, and loving our neighbors. Empower to preach the gospel boldly. Really, I don't take it for granted that I get to preach the gospel boldly like this. Right, this year alone, I think I would have spoken to like 500 youths and young adults from like those guest speaking opportunities. Again, that's not a given. That's a blessing and a grace by God. And we need to pray that we can keep doing that. Because we get to enjoy that here in Canada, but that's not the case elsewhere. Again, my prayer is that God will grant this privilege to all of us at all times. We have to pray not just for ourselves, but for others. Do you pray for your family? Do you pray for your friends? Then do you pray for your church family? Do you pray for your pastors, your teachers? Do you pray for your neighbors, your coworkers, your classmates? Do you pray even for your enemies, for those who hurt you? Do you pray for your community, for your city, for your country? Do you pray for the world? You know, I got to meet with Mark from our church last week, Dr. Kwan. And he wanted to pray for me at the end because he said he doesn't get much chance to pray for me in person because every Sunday I give the benediction, but he wanted to pray for me and for this meeting. And in his prayer, there was a line that stuck with me. When he was praying about our church, he said, God, though we are small, we can be mighty. And I kept thinking about that. How can that be? And the key to that is prayer. When we start praying for all the saints, when we start praying for the lost, when we pray for his kingdom come and his will be done, though we are small, we can be mighty. We can mightily stand against the enemy. We can do mighty things through prayer because we have a mighty God. When we put on the whole armor of God, praying to God at all times with all prayer, with all perseverance for all the saints and the lost who will one day become saints as well, we can be mighty. So let us live each moment with the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the enemy's attack to finish this journey well until Christ returns. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you once again for this series where we got to look at the whole armor of God closely. And today, as we look at the topic of prayer, God, help us to pray at all times, for all things, through different prayers that you have taught us and given us, with all perseverance for all the saints and all those who are lost. So we are constantly aware of your presence and constantly aware of your working. The same God who worked back then, who is still working now, help us to look to you, ask of you for help in all things. So once again, we thank you for giving us this way through your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may confidently come before you to pray about all things, to ask you for all of our needs and for all the help that we need. And we thank you once again. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.